Well, listen, hindrances to church planting, part five, money, or the wrong perspective on money. The reason we're talking of these things is that God's desire for His churches are to be church planting churches. Amen? That God wants every church to birth another church. That is just as true as it is fulfilling. That's fulfilling the Great Commission. That's what God wants His churches to do, is to birth other churches. Amen. And we love to see that happen, and we want to see that happen around here someday. We want to be able to birth another church and everything like that. But we need to plot. We need to understand as we move forward here. This is not to indict the past. This is to move forward and understand this is the way that we should go. Biblically, this is the way. Somebody else may be doing something another way. I don't have time to worry about what somebody else is doing. I'm concerned with what we're doing here and that we move forward. So understand this. This is not an indictment on anybody else. This is for me to understand and for you to understand from the Word of God that we move forward. Amen? And we do right no matter what. Now, the reason we've talked about a few of these hindrances to church planning, we said a complex structure or, our pragmatic design can be a discouragement in church planning. You know, trying to make every class and everything available to everybody right away and to do all those things can be very discouraging to people. And it can be very discouraging to the pastor and also undue pressure and results can be very discouraging. You come from a big ministry and you see God work and His power in there and you see people get saved and you think that automatically that's going to happen here and you get there and you get out and Brother Andrew can tell you the same thing as he pastored a church as well before. You get out there and it doesn't always work that way. It doesn't always happen that way. You know, and we fail to realize that those men did a lot of work and it took a lot of time and it didn't just happen overnight, you know, for them either. But we have to understand that you know, if we put too much pressure on and undo results and throw out all those statistics and all those other things and just do the will of God. Amen. And you won't be pressured by this and comparing. I said, we talked 1 week about comparing ourselves among ourselves is not wise in trying to compare ourselves and in trying to, you know, keep up with so and so or anything like that. You're going to discourage yourself. Remember, you're not running a race against somebody else. You're running a race towards the Lord, and it's not against somebody else. It's for the Lord. Amen. So we strive to do right, and we just keep moving forward. Now, we talked about a building, that many times a building can be a hindrance to church planting, because automatically, and I know Brother Andrew as well, because he's the only church planter here that I can talk to that's ever planted a church, but he understands this, that a building is a mindset. As soon as you get started, you want a building and a place to meet, and you want to have a church. You know, you want to have a church building to meet in. We know we're the church as far as the local assembly, but we want a building to meet in. And I'll tell you what, it took me 3 or 4 years to really get over the fact that God has provided this for us. Let's be rejoicing in the Lord that this is what God has given us, and let's stop looking around for everything else and just say, you know what, if God ever so chooses to give us something, then wonderful. If He doesn't, we shouldn't go into debt for it. Amen? It takes a while to learn those things. You know, the reason I'm preaching is for those that come out from us and start a church, and for those to encourage those that want to start a church, that they don't get hindered or a hindrance doesn't come upon them and think, you know what, I have to have a building to validate my ministry. I have to have this. You know, I'm speaking from past experience. You know the talks that I had and what we went through for 4 years and looking at everything, and Lee and I had talked about it a lot and different building programs and different things that we had looked at and we thought of and different properties that we were going to buy, and my goodness, I thank the Lord we didn't do any of them. Had we have done that the Catholic Church building over there, like I told you before, it would have been $1,000 a month for a month of winter. You know, we'd have been paying $1,000 to heat that place. You know, and it's just, I thank the Lord that God kept us from that. And so that's one of those things. And so understand, those are some of those. I won't go over all those. You can look at some of those or listen to them online if you didn't hear all of them. But tonight I want to deal with money, or the wrong perspective on money can be a hindrance to church planting. It's very important that we grasp this and understand this truth here. 1 Timothy, open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Actually, I'll go there. You go to Luke chapter 14, please. You go to Luke chapter 14. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." That's a general principle of money right there, okay? That's a general, it doesn't say that money is evil. It says that the love of money is the root of all evil. I think it was Dr. Heil said, there's two things in your ministry that will kill you. He said, money and women. He said, if you're wrong about either one of those, it'll kill your ministry. It will strike it dead. I remember listening to that on a tape 5 or 6 or 7, 8 years ago that I heard him say that. And I never forgot that. Pastor Clear told me that too. There's two things, money and women. If you have the wrong perspective on either one of those and you're not careful, they'll kill your ministry. And that doesn't mean that just women by being here will kill your ministry. It's just getting involved with women when you shouldn't. Crossing the lines of things that you shouldn't cross into. Amen? And doing things and not protecting and guarding yourself and things of that nature. So, I mean, very good point that he had made, and I took heed to that, and it made sense. All right, Luke chapter 14 and verse number 28. "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Listen, in all we do for the Lord, we must count the cost. In everything. In your life, when you purchase something, as I talk to you men about things that I purchase and I want to purchase, and you and I talk together about things, and we talk about counting the cost first. And that's when you counsel with other people and you bounce it off of them and you listen and you counsel and you talk amongst yourself and you get everybody's idea of it, you start to wonder, now listen, what am I doing? I'm counting the cost to make sure I'm making a good decision. You know, whether it's a loan for something, whether whatever it is, and I understand there are some that disagree with getting a loan period for anything, and I understand that. And I heard one guy one time for his house or nothing, no, you just don't get a loan and you rent and everything. And I understand all that. If that's your conviction, I don't have that same conviction. I think you got to be careful. You got to be cautious. I think you have to. Certainly, I don't think that the Bible outlaws all lending, by the way. I sincerely do not think it does. Now, some will disagree with me on that, and that's fine. You can disagree with me. I don't happen to believe it outlaws all lending, though. But I'm always up for a challenge to sit and talk about it, for sure, and sit down with the Bible and go through it and talk about it. I think it advises for you to be cautious and that you understand what you're getting yourself into when you do get a loan and what's going to happen, and you better understand what you're getting yourself into. But I'm not so sure that it outlaws all lending. I've heard people say that before, but I'm not sure that that's the case. However, we need to understand to function in society, we need money. You know, the truth of the matter is that we have to earn our money. We have to have money. And in this world, we're supposed to make money. We're supposed to work. As men, we're supposed to get out there and we're supposed to work. Amen. And take care of things. And we understand that even to promote the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and to fulfill the Great Commission and to start churches, we gotta have money. Amen. It's true. I mean, I've heard people say, oh, we don't, no, we need money. We do. Just like when I just wrote out the check for the meeting place here, we needed that money in that account. And by the way, I'm preaching on this money and everything. I'm not preaching this message because we're hurting for money and we have to have it. And I'm not, that's not why. This is just a warning of proper dealing with money as we plant churches and understanding that this can be a hindrance. Money can be. So it's not an indictment on anything, or it's not saying, hey, you know, get out your checkbooks or anything like that. That's not what it's about. Because by the way, we had a very good offering on Sunday. Amen. God took care of us and you all are faithful givers and I thank the Lord for that. So don't think that's what this is about. This is not about primarily us, but they're good principles to understand. Amen. But money can be a hindrance to church planning. Now, number one, many church planning organizations teach that you should not work another job. I've heard that before. I've heard that said before. I've heard many church planners state that a man should be fully supported before he starts a church so that he can knock 1,000 doors a week. I've heard that before. Now, that he should not work another job. But you remember this one thing, folks, and listen to me closely. A man's first responsibility is to his family. Amen? And let me say this also. I respect a man that will step out of the ministry to care for his family and to take care of his family and to feed his family and say, you know what? This is my first obligation, is to feed my family. And if I can't pastor a church and feed my family, then I'm going to step away from the pulpit and I'm going to take care of my family. That is biblical, by the way. There is no shame in that. Do you understand that? There is absolutely no shame in taking care of your family and doing what's right when it comes to that. But listen to what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I've heard people say, well, you know, you shouldn't get a job, and you should just try to do it all and just hit the ground and do it all and be fully supported. Folks, if we wait till we're fully supported for everything, we'll never do anything for God. Listen, can I tell you that by the world's standards, I'm not fully supported? But boy, I'll tell you what, I sure can't complain about anything. And I'm just being real honest with you here. God has taken care of me. If you looked at the numbers from July and you said, okay, listen, Pastor, when First Baptist separated us and we were on our own, and when you look at that, you would think to yourself, well, how in the world is it even happening? And I can't answer you. All I can say is it's because of God. Because I don't know how either. Amen? Because we started our bank account with zero. Amen? We started our bank account with absolutely no money in it. And God has provided for His people. And God has provided for this place. We had no money. And I just think that's a miracle of God. And you ought to be encouraged tonight about that. You ought to be. And by the way, another encouraging thing is another church started in January 1st of 2012 here about 2 weeks ago. And they started under the same declaration of trust that this church started. It's a direct result from the ministry of this church. Amen. So his name is Brother Campbell, Aaron Campbell, and he called me and he got everything organized. There are two more churches in Illinois that are going to do the same thing. Brother McPhillips is looking at doing the same thing in Michigan. Brother Davenport is finishing his paperwork up to do the same thing. And guess what, folks? If this church did not stand out by faith and do what it did, that would not have happened. So you ought to be encouraged. Sometimes you think that you have to be great in number to see the blessings of God. Well, you're sorely mistaken if that's the case, because I see them all around me. Amen? And where others, and I didn't mean for this to be such an encouraging message, but hey, let me just say this to you, that I see miracles all around me in this place. Among people that have just been saved, people that have been saved a year ago, their lives are changing, they're living for the Lord, God is doing something, God even bringing people back to us that were here 4 years ago. Amen? God taking care of His people. Even Skyping people over the airwaves here and seeing Brother Hildebrand with a big old bushy beard. I mean, that's a blessing, isn't it? That's funny. Anyway, a pastor has a responsibility, though, to care for his family first. This is why God Almighty lists the qualifications for the bishop. He says this, one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Does that mean you hang them upside down? What does that mean? No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, one that rules well his own house, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Do you understand some of the greatest problems that are among church planting or churches today are the fact that unqualified men that are not following these are ordained and they are sent out. They are sent out and they... Wow, how about that? Sorry, just time for commercial break there. But we're back live. Somebody's got to pay for everything around here. All right. Speaking of money. Sorry, that was funny. Many times a man of God that starts a church, though, gets discouraged because he needs to take care of his family, and he thinks that he should just be going soul winning and trust the Lord to care for his family. That's not what the Bible says. Yes, we're to go soul winning. Yes, we're to win souls. Yes, we're to be witnesses. We're supposed to do all those things. Amen? We are, but we're also supposed to take care of our families. Amen? And it's amazing how God does that. A man of God must be able to work and to feed his family as well. There's nothing in Scripture that says a pastor should not work another job to feed his family. Amen? Nowhere does it say that. It's funny because what the mindset is today is we get ordained or we graduate from a college, and then we do believe that we have to go for that job where we take over church somewhere and get 30, 40, 50, 60,000. I remember this lady was telling me, and I was shocked. This born-again lady was telling me up in Bloomington. It was an older lady, 83 years old. Man, looked like she was 50. Boy, that lady was tough. I mean, just 83 years old, just had the joy of the Lord on her. Saved, born again, loved God, witnessed and talked to me about the Lord and everything when I was there at her house. And she said that their pastor, now listen to this, their pastor is my age, and they're paying him $100,000 a year. Did you hear me, brother? $100,000 a year. And I'm thinking to myself, why? For what? Now, I could understand if he was pastoring something like a huge mega church with thousands of people, but this church has like 500 maybe 1,000, like Rosemont. I guarantee you, Pastor Clear does not make $100,000 a year. In fact, I know what he makes. I sat in deacons' meetings. I've watched the man take pay cuts and take cuts for everybody else to make sure he didn't have to lay people off. So I've watched him sacrifice. I've watched him skin the budget down to almost nothing, you know, to try to keep people on. I've watched him do those things. So I understand that he's not making a lot of money. And he's got a bigger church than this guy does. And this guy's making $100,000 a year. And I'm thinking to myself, you got to be kidding me. Now, they're a Presbyterian church or something. No, I don't remember what it was. One of the new evangelical churches, something anyway. But anyway, this guy's making just a ton of money there. Everything all taken care of, all his expenses and everything. I said, he should be making half of that maybe. And then give him his expenses. Take care of the man of God's expenses, absolutely. If he needs a roof on his house, you got 600 people in the church. Somebody in there can figure out how to roof the house. Amen? Come on. That's how they used to do it. People used to say, you know what, I do windows, I do this, I do these things, I fix cars, just like we do. And people, and then say, well, listen, preacher, we'll take care of it. We'll get it fixed up for you. We'll do it. Why? Well, because first of all, we don't have to take up a $1,000 love offering to make sure a transmission or a pastor's car gets fixed, and we can just get on our hands out there and do it ourselves. Amen? And it's just as valuable in the sight of God's eyes. But you've got people that are making all kinds of money. Listen to what Paul said. He said, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8, he said, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. He should have let the church of Corinth care for his needs, but he didn't. And he didn't teach them well. Now, so there's times that you don't have to work, that a man of God may not have to work a side job. There are times for that. Amen? There are times that doesn't have to be the case. But he says this. He said, for what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except to be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. He said, I should have been burdensome. I should have not worked that job. There were plenty of you there to take care of me, is what he was saying. And I robbed other churches for you. I didn't make you take care of me. I didn't let you take care of me when I pastored you. But not everything is the same. I've heard preachers take that verse right there and say, well, see, he was apologizing for working another job. No, he wasn't. He was saying, for you in Corinth, this worked. Because Paul was a tent maker in other places. He did things, and he said, I robbed none of you. He said, I'm doing this for the next men that come along, not for me. I want you to take care of the next men. Don't worry about me. God takes care of me. But you're going to have to take care of these men. And God's going to use you to take care of young Timothy and these other men. That's what he was saying to them. Because he was an apostle, and he was the scourge of the earth. And he knew that. I do want to be somewhat burdensome to you here at Old Paths Baptist Church. That you would know how to give and take care of the man of God, but it's so you have fruit to abound to your account, not for me. Not just so you can just do something for me because I don't want to do anything else. There's a lot of other things I could do. A whole lot of other things I can do. Matter of fact, when all of this went down right here with my other job and I stepped away from it and just do some part-time work now with that, they called me and offered me that franchise. They said, you can have it. We'll give it to you. All you got to do is just tell us. We'll stick it all in your name right now. Nope. Mm-mm. Why? It's a snare and a trap, and I don't want it. I know what God's called me to do, and I've got to keep moving forward. There's too much at stake. God's done too much in the last 6 months, and I know it, and I can't be bogged down with it. I just can't be. I've got too much to do for God. But money can be a hindrance. God's allowed me to make extra money, and God's taken care of me. And He uses you mostly to take care of me. The bulk of what comes in, and you'd be surprised at, it takes care of the needs that we have. Some people wonder, well, how in the world do you live on that? I don't know, I do though. Amen? God takes care of us. Number two, a pastor that is taken with money can be a hindrance to church planting. Sometimes a pastor's perspective of money and debt can be wrong and can be a hindrance to church planting. Some pastors are carried away with materialism and the love of money. These hindrances are all warned against in the Bible, and if a sending church is watching and examining the man to meet these qualifications, they will avoid much heartache. Make sure they're not carried away with materialism. You have to be careful about that. I know there's some evangelists out there today that they've got these big $250,000, $60,000 houses and this huge, I'm talking about $300,000 homes, biggest screen TV you can find and everything else. You can't afford to live like that. The Lord will put you through some things and show you that it doesn't work. Amen? These hindrances are warned against. The Bible talks about filthy lucre. It says lucre means gain in money or goods, profits, usually in an ill sense or with the sense of something base or unworthy. It says not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre. That's the man of God's qualification, not to be greedy, not to have to have all and gain all and get all. Amen? Not greedy and wanting all the best things and the highest priced lifestyle and all the toys and have it all. Gotta have it all. We don't need to live like that, amen? God's people don't even need to live like that, really. We don't have to have everything, amen? There are things that we can withhold ourselves from. There are things that we don't have to have. It's nice to have them, amen, but you don't have to have them to be happy. I hope you don't have to have them to be happy, because someday they're all going to be gone. And I always told my wife, if we sell everything we had, we had to live in a box somewhere. If we were all together, I'd be just fine with it. Amen? I would be. I hope I don't have to. But, amen? But I would be fine with it. I'd live in a cave if I had to. Maybe it's that cave with that waterfall over there in, where's that, Niagara Cave? I'll live there. That'd be all right. But it's kind of cold in there sometimes. But, anyway. It says, not greedy and wanting all the best things. It bleeds into the church. And that's why the man of God must have control of his finances first. You know, God put me through some lessons. And I thank God for Pastor Clear and his diligence. When I first came to him back in 2003, I remember him and I talking, and I remember I had moved up here and bills were starting to mount up from before and all these other things that I needed, and I was burdened. God had broke my heart about debt that I had before I was saved, and that I had to get it cleaned up. I had to fix it. I had to make it right. And I knew that I would never be able to pastor if I didn't get this stuff right. And I remember he said something to me, and he said, well, if you don't get this right, then you're probably not going to be qualified to pastor. And I listened to him, and I said, you know, you're probably right about that. And I started to work on it, and I prayed about it. I prayed about it every day, that my debt, that God would take care of me, and that God would meet our needs, and that we would pay off all these. And God just kept sending things in. You know, sending money in and opportunities to pay things off. And we paid thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars off in debt. you know, and God taught me that lesson. So when you pastor, if you don't have a hand on those finances before you pastor, this verse even says it, that how shall you be able to take care of the house of God? You're going to get yourself into a mess there. Amen? And then you not only take yourself into a mess, but you take everybody else in with you. You know, and you bring shame on the ministry. You know, and I didn't want to do that. So, but the Lord really worked in my life to pay it all off, and I did. Amen? And God did. God blessed us. I'll tell you, the last thing I paid off was a year ago. No, well, 2 years ago now. Wow, it's been 2 years. Yeah, 2 years, right? I bought that house 2 years. I remember in February, it was 2 years. It'll be 2 years. Anyway, and I was getting Obama was giving me $8,000. Nice guy that he is. Huh, Brother Russ? Nice guy that he is. Obama giving that check for $8,000, that first-time buyer's check. I remember everybody tried to get me to buy a house before, and I didn't want to buy when it was high. I said, no, I'm going to wait. And then everything crashed down. And I almost got locked into a $243,000 house, and I backed out of it. I said, ooh. And then I came over here, and then I got a loan from Community Resource Bank, and they gave me a loan. They said, oh, this is what you're going to get. I'm like, man, that's it? And they're like, yep, this is all we can verify. This is all you're getting. Unless you lie. She didn't say that, though. But that's what people do. They lie. You know, they'll lie. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to lie. This is what I make. This is what I have coming in. This is what it is. And if that's what God wants us to have, then that's what we'll have. And we found it. And it was one of the cheapest houses in Northfield, you know, at the time. But I didn't go for something extravagant either because I didn't want to have that debt. You know, and I had to get a handle on that first, though. That had to be taken care of. And money can hinder churches. The love of that money can hinder church planting. The wrong focus on that money, the man of God wanting too much can do that. You know, getting into too much debt and everything, and it can hinder that. It can really be a mess. Is it any wonder that Paul, he says this, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He puts that in the pastoral epistles. Do you see that? When he's giving his instructions to young Timothy, he puts that about money and finances in there. And the reason he put that in there was what? To make sure that that man of God understood that it's vitally important that you have these things in order. Because you're going to be dealing with God's money. Now, it's all God's money, but you're going to be dealing with God's money in His church and representing them. Amen? And, you know, I didn't know anything about a declaration of trust back then, but it's amazing to me that now I see it from a different... Had I not learned those lessons, and had Pastor Clear not allowed me to go through those lessons and not give me a way out and say, no, you need to do this, get it done, had he not done that, this would not have worked the way that it has under the Declaration of Trust now. See, God had to prove to me that He was going to take care of me, and I had to prove to Him that I was going to follow Him. Now, I know God was going to prove to me, just like He did Jacob, that He would take care of him. But I had to learn that lesson myself. And I also had to learn that I didn't need things that I didn't need. Amen? I could leave those things off. But now, you know, you all have to trust God and myself concerning these finances to make sure things are taken care of. That's the way that God entrusted. That's the way that it's supposed to be. Amen? So it's very important. Paul said this. He said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, I know how to have it all and have a good time with it, and I know how to have nothing and still be happy and function. What a testimony to his Christian life. That's the life that you and I are supposed to have, that we abound and then we can abase as well and say, you know what, I'm fine though. We got food to eat. God's taking care of us. Amen? And we need to be happy about that. Pastors need to understand that. The man of God must embrace that. Otherwise, they get so far into debt that they can't pastor the church. I've got a pastor friend right now that his church with credit cards and everything else, they're so far in debt right now. The church is so far in debt right now that he is trying to pay that way out of that debt. It's not his debt. He's got his own debt. But the church is in debt too. And he's paying that off. He's trying to pay his debt off, pay the church's debt off. And, it just sinks them into that. And, he's doing his best that he can right now. And he's trying to honor God and do what's right. And he's working his way through it. But it's not easy. And that's a hindrance. That keeps a man from being able to plant another church. Or a church to plant another church because the finances are all out of order and you can't do anything. You're scared to make that next step. So, he's a good man and he'll get through it. He's trusting the Lord and he learned his lessons. Learned it the hard way, but he's learning them. Amen? He racked them up with promotions and fancy literature and everything had to be professional and top-notch. Well, that's okay if you have the money for professional and top-notch. Amen? If you have that money for that, then you do that. If you don't have the money for that, then a church doesn't do that. You don't borrow that money to be top-notch. Amen? I could understand if a church's boiler went out and they had to borrow, they decided to borrow some money, or the pastor did or whatever. Now, we under a declaration of trust would not do things like that. But I could understand if he had to, in case of emergency, if they couldn't get the money up. Now, I'm not saying it's the best idea to do it. I'm saying if they had to, you got to heat the building. You don't have the $20,000 to do it at that point. Maybe you shouldn't have bought the building, but that's another story. But you know what I mean? If you have that and you have to take care of that, that's a different story than saying, well, I need to have all the fancy literature that I can have, though. So I rack up credit cards with that. There's a difference in those two things. And that's what this pastor understood. Finally, the church's flawed understanding of money can be a hindrance, too. You as members, if your understanding for money is flawed, it can be a hindrance to church planting. Many church members don't understand that it's their responsibility to care for the pastor and his family. Now, that's not a problem here, but that has been a problem in some churches. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. So the Bible is instructing us to take care of it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we see this again. Paul is explaining this to the Corinthians. Now, part of this is that the pastor must teach on these things too. And a lot of pastors are a little skittish about teaching on money because it's like, oh, now they're going to think that all we want is money. And I mean, you can probably count on your hand. You have been here for 4.5 years. You can probably count on your hand how many times I've ever really talked or preached straight on money. I mean, it's probably been 4 or 5 times. I don't think it's been much more than that even, because it's never really been a problem. We've never really had that problem. But as we reproduce ourselves into other churches, that young church and that pastor needs to understand that you must train your people in these things, and they have to know and understand these things, in order for the church to be, productive in the Lord's work. Paul says this. He says in verse number, let's see. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? He's saying, didn't he say this for our sakes so you understood and I understand what we need to do in the New Testament church? For our sakes, no doubt this is written. He that ploweth should plow in hope. And that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Amen? Means that the churches should take care of the pastor. He should make sure that he's taken care of, that his bills are met, that he can do that. Now, the pastor has a responsibility also to be wise. We've already discussed his role, that if he's not a man that's fit for that office, you know, if he's a squanderer, if he's a waster, if he gets himself into all kinds of debt, then says the church needs to bail him out of it. A church might do that one time, but then they're going to be cautious about it the next time, and they're going to look at it and say, well, what's the reason? Amen? They're going to look at those things. They're going to understand those things. Again, I'm very grateful for this church and the members. They're very faithful. The giving is. God has blessed us with faithful people. Amen. He just has. It's amazing. But I have heard some people have the mentality that a pastor should suffer for the Lord and show himself a servant and live way beneath the people. I remember Yinka Fassenroe was telling me a story one time about that. He told me, he said he was at a pastor's church, and he said he was going to Africa and everything, and the pastor looked at him and said, "Well, you don't need a house. You and your wife can live in a hut." Did you hear me, brother? He looked at him and he said, "Your wife can live in a hut." And he goes, "Well," and he said, "Well, you gonna put your wife in a hut?" But do you see the mentality of people? That's what some people, a pastor, the pastor saying this to him. Oh, you need to suffer for the Lord because you're going to Africa. You need to live amongst the people and go build a hut and live there. Nice. Right? Nice. Thanks, preacher. I think I'll leave now. You know, and here's his wife looking at him like, what? His wife heard this, you know? And I think Yinka asked him, would you put your wife in a hut? I think he did ask him that. Would you put your wife in a hut? You can't imagine the things that that man has seen and been through going to churches. It's unbelievable to me the stories he's told me. He used to tell me these stories when I'd be keeping him up at night because he'd be trying to drive late at night. So I'd talk to him on the phone late at night. He would tell me the story. And that's why he always called me Crazy Cooley, because I would say, so I was like, man, I'd tell that guy. He goes, no, you can't do that, brother. I said, why would I tell him off? He goes, no, brother, you can't do that. He goes, oh, you're Crazy Cooley. That's what he said to me all the time. You're just Crazy Cooley. You're crazy. Crazy Cooley from Northfield. Just like Crazy Moody. But that's what he'd say to me. But that's funny. Anyway, but a pastor, a church needs to understand, yes, that's their responsibility to take care of that preacher. But there's also that time of growth and everything that the pastor needs to take care of his family as well and do things. We need to have it. But money can be such a hindrance. If we get too much pie in the sky ideas of things that we want to do and no money to do them. I've had people say, well, we need to start a new ministry doing this. And I had somebody, now they're no longer here before, but a family that was here before that said to me, oh, we need to start a ministry doing this. I said, well, brother, who's going to work it? Me? I mean, okay, but I just want you to understand that it's me. And then that family left a month later. Well, I'm glad I didn't start that ministry, because it would have been impossible to do for me. You know, but everybody has these ideas about things like that, but money is a factor, and so is time. You know? I mean, that's this wonder. I'm glad you got that ministry idea, but, you know, don't take off on me a month later. Or then say, oh, I thought we were going to start this. Well, we were, but you're leaving. So I'm glad I didn't. Amen? I've heard those things before. But anyway, we need to have the right perspective on that. You know, a pastor should be an example of not having an extravagant lifestyle or having to have everything. But what a shame to people if you live richly but leave the preacher and his family in rags. That's a shame. It's a shame to do that. That's a shame on the body. To allow that to happen. Amen? God judge between the pastor and that person for having a mentality like that? I've seen it, though. I have seen that mentality among people. You know, I've heard it. Not here, amen. We don't have that spirit here. God's blessed us here. And I rejoice in that as well. Understand, I'm not full of want like I have to have everything. But I do want the Lord to bless you. Amen. I do want God to show His blessings through you. Amen. Also, some churches, and we're about done here. Also, some churches believe that they need $1 million to start a church. They got to have a bunch of money to start a church. We got to have a whole bunch of money. No, the Bible says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You don't have to have a lot of money to start a church. Amen? You don't have to have everything that a church that has been established for many years has. You don't have to have all those things. We get that mindset, though, when we get called to preach and we get sent out. We got to have everything. If they have it, we got to have it. Well, they earned it. They didn't start out with it. They earned it. They worked hard for that. And it took years of sacrifice for that. It just didn't happen just like that. Amen? I'll tell you, it's a discouragement to a lot of young men when they graduate and then they get ordained and they get sent. They look for a job or they look for a pastorate somewhere, but they look for a church that's already established. Somewhere where they can take over, take a youth pastor's position for a while and then become a pastor. You know, but it's harder when you just go, and I'm not saying that that's for everybody, but it's harder when you go out and you start a work and you're sent out, not taking over. Now, it could be just as many headaches taking over something. There are some churches that I remember some churches that were open at the time that we were going to start this, and some talk was going around and everything else. And I was like, no thanks, I don't want anything to do with that headache. That is just a big headache. You know, because I've seen all the struggles that go with that. You know, there's struggles with that too, so I'm not saying it's easy. What I am saying, though, is that when you start a church, it is, you're chiseling it, you know. I mean, when Pastor Johnson came here, there was a handful of people. Amen? When Pastor Johnson, the Lord used him to cut that thing out of a cornfield. I mean, it's just a miracle what happened there. And that didn't happen overnight either. That didn't happen just like that either. That took a lot of hard work. It took a lot of time and a lot of dedication. And not every church is going to have those results either. Amen? That's not what God didn't say every church is going to be like that. But I will tell you one thing. There is some investment that's needed to start new churches and things like that, but you can start a church in a house. Amen? It's like there's a lot of people that go to a lot of these churches around here that have their rock and roll concerts and everything else. And I just wonder if persecution comes, if they'd be willing to meet in a house somewhere without the rock band. Because I don't think in China they're striking up the band. Right? Are they going to be willing to meet in a house somewhere? You know, if persecution came, do you know all these frivolous little things that we worry about would be gone? All these little things that we think are important would just be gone if persecution came. I'm not saying I want it to come. I'm just telling you that all of the little things that we make a big deal out of, they'd be gone. Real quick. But it will also prove who's for God, too. Persecution has always proved who stands on the Lord's side. Amen. But once you take that major hindrance first from a church planting, the desire to own property, to validate a ministry, the rest of the financial decisions start to fall into place. They start to work. You know, listen, I'm not so concerned with the money of us reproducing the next church we birth, but the timing of the Lord and not rushing into it, and that our members be stable and strong in the Lord and the body unified. Amen. As we venture into that. Because we want the Lord's blessing on it. That's why I'm preaching on the body this year, the body of Christ, the local church, getting that body unified and understanding to work together as a body. Before we make that step, we've got to have that stability and understand that. The body must understand her structure and order and unity and the mission and how each of us affect one another. So when we birth another church, we'll be ready to have God's blessing and God's blessing on it. We already have the opportunity. It's facing us right now. We understand where that opportunity is. But we start simple and keep it simple, and God will add to the body as necessary. We don't need a grand production to start a church. We need the power of God. Amen? In Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Money can be a hindrance to church planting. The wrong view of it, the love of it, the ignorance to God's commands on money, and the hindrance is a hindrance to church planting. We need to make sure we understand that. Amen? And even money is, the wrong view of money in your own life is a hindrance. You know, we need to get back, and I know this isn't just strictly on church, but we need to get back to teaching our children about money. Teaching them. Amen? Men talking about money and being wise as serpents with it. Amen? And ladies understanding proper order by their husbands teaching them and you guys working together as a couple to understand what's right and what's wrong and how to take care of finances and how to do things the right way. Amen? Make wise purchases. I know this is, I mean, make sure you investigate things before you buy them. Exhaust all opportunities to investigate it and then buy something. Don't just buy something because you think it's a good deal. Check it out first and make sure it is. Get some information. You know, someday somebody may ask you some advice about money. I hope that you're able to help them. Amen? I hope that you're able to. One of the reasons why we need to be wise as serpents and do things right is because we need to help others that come along. You know, since the Lord blessed me and I was able to pay off a lot of that debt and do those things, I've been able to help others do the same thing and to learn things from that. You can also learn from the opposite side too. You can fail and crash and burn and pick yourself back up and God forgives you and move forward in doing right. Amen? And God will bless you too and you'll be able to help others. Amen? But let's get the right idea of money and understand that it can be a hindrance to planting a church or even a hindrance in your own life. You don't want to be a slave to money or to bills or to everything else like that and can't do anything. You know, can't even serve the Lord, can't do anything for God because you're so strapped. You know, that's not how God wants us to be. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. And Lord, we pray we'd understand that this can be a serious hindrance to church planting and just the wrong idea of money in general and what we need. And Lord, help us to understand that and help us to grow thereby. We need you, Savior, and we thank you. I thank you for each and every person here. And Lord, I thank you for their faithfulness. Lord, you have blessed us with some faithful people at Old Paths Baptist Church, and I thank you for that. Lord, they have a heart to love you, and they want to see you do miracles here, Lord, and I pray you'd continue to do them. Thank you so much. Please bless us and bring us back safely here this weekend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.